What's up, Playlisters? Brian from Playlist Wars here. Just want to let you know that while this show is on hiatus, both Gomez and I have separate shows that are part of the Playlist Wars extended universe, if you will. Gomez has the Sleevey G Show, which you can find at SleeveyGPodcasts.com. And I have a new show entitled My Weekly Mixtape, which you can find over at MyWeeklyMixtape.com. Both shows are also available on all podcast platforms just by searching Sleevey G Show or My Weekly Mixtape. And Playlist Wars will be back soon. Thank you guys so much for your continued support of the show.
Hey, it's John Pritchard of the Well Disguised Podcast, and it's time to throw down and do this thing. You're listening to Playlist Wars. Let the battle begin.
Welcome to Playlist Wars, everybody. I'm part of the dynamic duo. My name is Gomez, and I have my partner in crime, Brian Colburn, with our special guest, the drummer from Sister Hazel, Mark Trojanowski. Welcome, everybody.
What's up? Mark, thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on your show.
Absolute pleasure, Mark. Been a huge fan of Sister Hazel for many decades now, and it's an honor to have you on with us tonight. And I kind of want to start tonight. We're actually not talking about Sister Hazel. We're talking about a different topic. And I want to know why you're excited to talk about Sheryl Crow's music with us tonight.
Well, she's definitely one of my favorite artists, songwriter. You know, I had the pleasure to actually play in a cover band that covered a lot of her songs before Sister Hazel. So like, you know, a lot of that Tuesday night music club stuff, I was playing in a cover band. And then as Sister Hazel was kind of coming up the ranks and hadn't gotten a record deal yet, one of my best buddies, Jim Bogus, was playing drums with her on tour. And so the band had actually gone out and seen her a couple of times in Atlanta when she was coming through town. And then our record hit. And then, you know, we were kind of playing a lot of the same festivals and things like that. So it was kind of cool to kind of play her music and then being on the same kind of stages as her. And then just seeing how she just went on to have hit after hit after hit, and just love her songs. I love also the way she records her records. You know, they have like a timeless sense to the actual rhythm tracks. And, you know, you can put a lot of these, like I went back and listened to everything we're going to talk about tonight, and it sounds like it could, you know, happen today, you know, or it could happen 50 years ago. It just has a timeless sense to the way her music was recorded.
That's awesome. Well, before we get down to business, we'd also like to send a huge welcome to all of our new Patreon subscribers. So if you guys would like to support the show and become a Patreon member, it's quite easy. Head over to patreon.com/playlistwars and select the tier that works best for you. Now, for those of you that are hearing us for the first time tonight, our show format is pretty simple. Tonight, our topic is the amazing Sheryl Crow. And we've each individually created the playlist with our top 10 favorite tracks, none of which have been shared between the three of us prior till now. Throughout the episode, we'll each reveal our track ones through track tens one by one and craft what we each feel is the perfect Sheryl Crow playlist. After the episode, we turn it over to you, the amazing playlisters, to vote at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com and decide once and for all which one of us got it right. Also at PlaylistWarsPodcast.com, you can listen to each one of our playlists just in case you want to quote unquote hear where we're coming from with our choices. And later on in the show, we'll each get to choose our one honorable mention song of the night, which will be a song that someone else on the panel has chosen. So all I want to do tonight is lead into the picks with a few terrible music puns, but that might be too easy. So I'm just going to stop right there and pass it on to you, Mark, to kick us off with your track one.
All right. So my number one is my true number one, probably my all-time favorite song to put onto my house and listen to. It's definitely Run Baby Run. It's got that R&B. I'm a huge sucker for R&B. I love R&B music. I love old R&B music. It's also in 6/8, so I love that kind of feel. And then a lot of her music, you know, it's like it's got that Sam Cooke kind of vibe, this song. You know, Nothing Can Change This Love or Bring It On Home, even kind of like Otis Redding, These Arms of Mine. It's got that slapback echo on the guitar and on the vocal. And then me being the drummer, I love how the drums, some of the fills are swung, but then some of the fills are like straight eighth, kind of going against the swing fill. And, you know, there's a couple lines. She's searching through the stations for an unfamiliar song, and she's thinking about the places that she still belongs. She smiles a secret smile, then she sort of knows exactly how to carry on. So that's kind of like my favorite line on the song as well. So that's my number one.
Great pick to start off, Mark. Truly awesome. I actually got to give a shout out to one of our Patreon account members who actually has it. Tim McKay actually has it on his on our chime-in list. So great pick to start off the show. Brian?
Believe it or not, that is my track four from 1993's Tuesday Night Music Club. It's her debut single. Most people don't realize that. That was the first song she ever released to the world. And surprisingly, the song didn't chart. And the song, Mark, it has this swagger about it that just kind of shows you where she was going to be heading musically. You understood Sheryl Crow's music by that one song. And I've always felt that there's something magical when an artist or a band, when their first track on their first album hits you that way. So for me growing up, two that I can think of are Good Times Roll by the Cars or More Than a Feeling by Boston. They just introduce you to that band in such a way. And Run Baby Run is a great example of that killer first track on a debut album. So that is my track four, Run Baby Run. Gomez, with that, we are back to you for your track one.
So my track one, I went a little different, but I truly love Sheryl Crow. She's got some great music, but this one stands out to me. And I went with my track one, Maybe Angels. Almost like a little bit of a deep cut, I think, but I also thought it had a great meaning to this song, which really was inspired by two people. Unfortunately, they are no longer in the music business that passed away. One being John Lennon and the other one being Kurt Cobain. So she was kind of describing as two guys who went up to heaven as angels. And it was really more of a dedication to those guys of the genre. It's a great song. I truly love it. You know, it had that deep meaning for me. So track one, Maybe Angels.
Dude, that's a great pick. I mean, the self-titled album is absolutely fantastic. And I'm looking at my 10 songs right now and I'm already feeling like I'm underrepresenting that amazing album. And that, again, is the opening track. And you know, I'm a sucker for really strong opening tracks.
Oh, yeah, you are.
So even though it's not on my list, I love that pick. That's a great one. Mark?
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that's her first two records. There's just so many songs to choose from between them. And she takes you on a ride to a lot of different places too. So that's kind of, you know, we're going to, one of the themes that I'm going to kind of, besides talking about the Sam Cooke, Otis Redding thing, is the definitely like that Stones kind of vibe. You know, she definitely listens to or grew up listening to a lot of Rolling Stones because you could just hear it in like a lot of the guitar tracks and how she writes her songs, just those simple little riffs on a lot of the songs.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that simple little riff, Mark, because my track one from 1998's The Globe Sessions is my favorite riff that instantly captures you with its bluesy groove tucked under a pop-esque skeleton lying underneath the surface. And that is My Favorite Mistake. The song reached number 20 on the Billboard US Hot 100. And the song is truly a testament of Sheryl's ability to bring that bluesy groove and that pop sensibility together on one song. The song has this riff that's dirty and bluesy, but the chorus is just smooth and silk. And to be able to balance between the two is no easy feat. And she pulls it off effortlessly on this track. My track one, My Favorite Mistake.
Brian, truly great pick. You know why? That is my track five.
All right.
My Favorite Mistake. This song actually had a little funny rumor to it. They thought this song was about Clapton because she dated Clapton for a little bit. But truly fantastic song. The blues of the song is really an ear opener because you don't hear her a lot with that type of, you know, mix to her music a lot. For me, it was really interesting to hear that, but it's a great tune. I love it. Track five, My Favorite Mistake.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I love the song too. It's on my top 10 list. It's actually my song number 9.
Oh, great.
I love the slapback guitar again. you know, there's also that, again, that R&B vibe, as you spoke about in the song, definitely can hear like Heard It Through the Grapevine in there. It's got that dark, sultry kind of vocal that she puts down. But the chorus is very uplifting, you know, where the verse is kind of dark, it kind of gets more of like a major sounding positive, you know, from the actual chorus. Again, instruments, she's got this really cool Fender Rhodes happening later down in the song. And then one of the things that I think is really cool, if you dive into the lyrics, is like on the last chorus, she changes the lyrics a little bit to where, you know, did you know, could you tell, you were the only one that I ever loved, not everyone so wrong. So she changes it up a little bit from the other choruses, and it's just kind of gives it a little bit vibe where she's kind of ripping through the lyrics, but it's in a different sense and not going back to the same chorus lyric.
That, again, is perfect pop sensibility to be able to do that because it's subtle. But it, with that subtlety, it's actually so much more effective in the song.
Right.
Absolutely love the pick. We have our first trifecta of the night with My Favorite Mistake. So, Mark, with that being said, we're back to you for track two.
All right. So track two, my two and three were going back and forth, but I'm kind of sticking with Strong Enough to be my number two. You know, it has that finger picking starting. Like, I love Landslide. It's very much like in that same kind of Fleetwood Mac, you know, just starts with that acoustic, not as dark as Landslide, but, and then, you know, she brings in other instruments one at a time. You know, I still to this day can't tell if it's like, it sounds like a fretless bass, but it might be an upright bass, but it's definitely a really cool organic kind of bass sound that she uses on that. And then me being the drummer, there's no drums really in there. It's like kind of bongos or some type of tabla going on. And she just keeps layering it. And to me, it's like, you know, one of my favorite songs. I know that's why I kind of have it a two. I love When I'm Broken Down and I Can't Stand, Would You Be My Man Enough to Be My Man. Again, she changes it up a little bit in that last chorus. It's kind of a little thing that she seems to do in some of her songwriting.
Truly another fantastic pick, because it's actually on my track. I ended up closing my track list with this song.
Interesting.
I actually love this song. What Mark said on the on his little spiel on it is about almost exactly what I'm saying too. But it was also, you know, if you go a little deeper, it's definitely how frustrated she was about her relationships. And, you know, and she questioned, are you strong enough to be my man? What I would say, the other verse is, are you strong enough to be my woman? Because I would reverse it at that time in my young age, because I felt like I was having trouble finding someone who would be like my girlfriend, you know, at that time. Now, look at me now. Several years later, I have a woman that's strong enough. Thank God for Laura. But track 10, Strong Enough for me.
Oh, well, I hope the song is strong enough to take the proverbial chop of the Playlist Wars axe, because unfortunately, it did not make my list. And I say that with a ton of guilt. This was bopping in and out of my list so many times. And it's definitely a very strong contender for my honorable mention. I love the song and feel ridiculous that it's not on the list, but I went in a little bit like Gomez, like something you would say all the time. I went in a little bit of a different direction.
Oh, that's my line. You can't use this.
Well, I did. I got the axe anyway. I chop in your thing as well. So with that being said, Gomez, we are coming back to you for track two.
So track two, everybody who's listened to Playlist Wars knows I love movies and video games. And no, Sheryl Crow did not make Grand Theft Auto. let's just all say that now. But,
thank God, get that out of the way.
Yeah, but one of her songs was the main title of one of my favorite movies. In 1997, she came out with a song, Tomorrow Never Dies. And with Pierce Brosnan being the James Bond lead at that time, she had the lead song for that great, great movie. I am a huge James Bond fan, but this was one song that stuck out that was really good. It was appropriate for the song, I felt like. So again, it was in the 1997 Tomorrow Never Dies as the lead song, Tomorrow Never Dies, track two.
It's a fantastic pick, dude. I'm going to be perfectly honest. That went right over my radar. I didn't even think to go down that road because I was listening to all of her studio albums. Mm-hmm. And I'm not actually sure. Did that make her very best of compilation?
No, it's not on that.
No, it's not.
Which is a real shame because, I mean, if she released a new compilation now, it's obviously a part of it. But fantastic pick, dude. Mark?
No, it's a great song. And, you know, it's awesome when as an artist, you can get your music in movies and soundtracks and other things like that. And, you know, she's had a couple chances like that. That's been pretty amazing for her. But it wasn't, you know, a lot of my songs are going to be like some of her earlier stuff. And then, you know, I have another song that's back in 2003. But, you know, something just spoke to me about a lot of her earlier work. And I don't know if it's just because I would see her a lot on tour and see these songs that I hear on the radio and then see them live. And it just, they just spoke to me a little bit different. So I think that's probably why I'm leaning a lot more to a lot of the earlier stuff.
Awesome. So with that being said, we are moving on to my track two. And I'm actually going to go something a little newer for mine. And I'm going to go from 2013's Feels Like Home, which was Sheryl Crow's debut country album. And the album itself was ranked by Billboard as one of the 10 best country albums of that year. Now, this song that I chose wasn't a single, but it's been a mainstay of her live shows ever since the album's release. And I'm going with The Best of Times. This song is just upbeat. It's got, a swagger to it. And sometimes with some artists, you question, can this artist pull off country? And this song to me is a definitive hell yes. The song is breezy and fun, but it's not so far removed from her music of the prior two decades that you feel like she just did a left turn musically. It feels like it fits perfectly in with the rest of her catalog. So my track two, Best of Times.
Well, I mean, she was always using pedal steel, like even on pop records. So, you know, it's like, I think so much of the lines between pop and country has been so broken down these days. And, you know, she was always an acoustic guitarist, singer, songwriter, which is what is the basis of all country music. But she had banjo, she had pedal steel, she had accordion, all kinds of cool instruments that are used in Nashville on her earlier records, even playing acoustic shows. You know, Peter, her live guitarist for years, is an amazing guitar player. So, you know, she moved up there at a certain point. I forget when she moved to Nashville. So, you know, she has a farm up there and was writing a bunch of songs. And a couple guys in my band were traveling back and forth to Nashville to write because the songwriting is up there is amazing. So I think it's just like where good songwriters go. And she just happened to go there and put out a record with a lot of people that were there. You know, Don Henley was doing the same kind of thing, you know, another amazing songwriter. And I think they actually did some work together too at some point.
Gomez?
Did not make my list, unfortunately, but it was a fantastic pick.
Thank you. Thank you. So with that being said, we are circling back to you, Mark, for your track three.
All right. So this is another one that I could probably put this on repeat in my house for hours and listen to the song just because of the actual groove behind it and the melody that's going on. It's like a really, really basic song, but for me, it's just, I love the message and I love the gritty vocals. So my number three, you know, I'm kind of staying around away from a lot of the bigger songs right now, but is Leaving Las Vegas. Again, off of the Tuesday Night Music Club. I love that bass line. And then I love all the answer back whoa vocals. This song is freaking awesome live when she would play this all the time. So it's kind of my, you know, I went back and forth between two and three on this one, ended up doing Strong Enough. So this is my number three.
Another fantastic pick, Mark, because it's actually my number nine. I'm closing out my list a lot quicker than I expected here. her voice is so incredible. I don't know. Something about this song just caught my ear and I truly love it. And her, I wouldn't call it swagger. I guess it kind of like an attitude for the song almost, yeah. But it wasn't like it captured like a, not a hardcore attitude, but a little snub attitude.
It's all about the vocal performance because like you said, that the groove ain't going anywhere. It's doing the same thing for the whole song. I mean, I love the melody on I'm Not Banging on My TV Set, where she just kind of goes up in that upper register. But it's all about that vocal, and there is a swagger to it.
Yeah, and I really enjoy it. So that's actually my track nine, Leaving Las Vegas.
And just like that, folks, we have our second trifecta of the night because Leaving Las Vegas is my track seven. Song reached number 60 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. And the bass line, I'm a bass player. And when a bass line grabs your attention and you just go, that song just does it. The bass just pulls you in. It's like a warm blanket that just wraps you up. It says, come here. I'm going to make you feel warm and fuzzy. And then her vocals kind of are the opposite end of that spectrum because they're so gritty and so demanding that you pay attention. And the contrast between the two is what really blows my mind about this song. And I love to mention cover songs when applicable, and there's not many that I could talk about tonight. But one band that I've seen many, many times over the years is Blues Traveler. And the band used to work the song into a medley of The Joker by Steve Miller Band and Stir It Up. And because of that bass line kind of weaving out of the songs using the same kind of progression, it worked really, really well. And that's a fun cover. You can actually find some stuff on archive.org. Go back and look up Blues Traveler's take on The Joker and Leaving Las Vegas mashed together. It's a really good one. But folks, we have our second trifecta of the night with Leaving Las Vegas. Gomez, we are back to you now for your track three.
Track three. I went with another great tune of hers, If It Makes You Happy. This song, I can resonate a little bit because of the description of the song. You know what I mean? It's like a person who's kind of upset or is leading through the depression life. And no matter what happens, you know, you just got to pick yourself up and try to make yourself happy. And Brian, as my best friend for over 27 some odd years, you've been there for a couple of my hard ones and you've been there for my happiest ones. And the one thing you always said is whatever makes you happy. And, you know, this song resonates to me personally. So track three, If It Makes You Happy.
I absolutely love the pick, Gomez. I love the pick so much that I close my playlist with this song. The lead single from 1996's Sheryl Crow. The song reached number 10 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 and won the Grammy for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance. In 2003, Q Magazine ranked If It Makes You Happy at number 663 in their list of the 1001 best songs ever. I did not have a chance to peruse all 1001 songs, but in my personal 1001 best songs ever, this one would rank much higher. There's something about the song that just grabs my attention. Colburn and Company has been playing it with our good friend from high school, Gomez, Nikki Capiello on vocals. Way back in the day in the 90s, we used to cover this song with The Fourth, with Chris Vam on vocals. This song, just every time a female singer or Sheryl Crow, obviously, hits that chorus and the song stops and she hits, I'm not even going to try it. But when she goes for the high note in the chorus, with no music and the whole band kicks in, every hair on my arm stands up. It just immediately sucks me in. And there's something so powerful about that song that it, again, I said this before and I'm going to say it again, it demands your attention and it just makes you feel good. The song has a little bit of a darker theme during the verses, but again, that chorus is so soaring and so perfect. It is my favorite Sheryl Crow song, and I could not see any other way to end my playlist without my track 10, If It Makes You Happy. Mark?
All right. Well, we have our third trifecta because it's my number four song on my list.
Nice.
So you said some great things there. I mean, I had a lot of the same stuff. The verses are really kind of dark, you know, especially with the vocal and just the groove. And then, like you said, that melody just opens up and soars in the chorus. You know, again, I love her guitar tones. You know, she uses a lot of these small, what they call cigarette amps, to kind of get that really kind of choppy, small type of sound. Also probably uses a bunch of AC Vox, AC30s. The slapback on the vocal, I mean, that's kind of like those first two records. You hear it on a lot of songs. It's a really cool thing that she does. You know, the other thing that I like about it is when you get into the lyrics, you know, people listen to pop radio back in 1996. You know, a lot of those people probably didn't even know who Benny Goodman or John Coltrane was, especially her fans. You've got to be somewhat of a jazz connoisseur to kind of know those names. One of the most famous jazz saxophonists and clarinetists of all time. So I love how she kind of works that in. And it kind of just shows you a little bit about her music pedigree, right? It's not, she you know, she should be a background singer for Michael Jackson and, you know, has a music background. How many instruments does she, you know, she plays a ton of instruments. So, you know, it also comes out a little bit in her lyrics of just knowing music history a little bit, which is kind of cool. And again, this is one of the songs that has pedal steel on it after the bridge. You know, they got that tremolo solo, and then you hear the pedal steel coming out. So, you know, she was doing pedal steel all the way back into 1993 and 1996 on these songs. So, again, she had that kind of organic roots in her music. And, you know, I love the song. You know, it definitely came out on that second record and sort of set a tone. I remember the video being played a ton, and it was just her, you know, selling the song.
I couldn't have said it better, Mark. I love it. And you know, it's funny because we were talking about her 2013 country debut album earlier, and I know the promotion around it was very much rooted in it's her debut country album, because country truly has exploded in the last decade. I'd say more mainstream than it was in the 90s, where there were touches of it throughout a lot of music that was on regular radio in the 90s. I could think that Sheryl Crow, Hootie and the Blowfish. I would say even Sister Hazel to some degree has a little bit of a country flair to it. Obviously, on some of the later albums that the band has done, I hear it a little bit more, but I hear it with Sister
Go
Hazel
back and
more.
listen to somewhere more familiar and all for you. It's like, you know, it's all jangly acoustic, you know, pop country stuff. You
Yeah.
know, we had a song on the White record called One Nation and easily could be cut. And, you know, we've had, I forget the band, but a Nashville band cut Champagne High.
Yeah, I listened to a song like Roll On By from your last album, and I hear, God, the vocal, I can't, that the vocals on that song are just perfection. I love that whole song. It gives me that breezy, almost Eagles-like feeling listening to that song.
Right.
And that to me is from the utmost compliment how much I love that song. And I just think that sometimes the word country, at least over the last decade, has been used as a buzzword in trying to sell something, because country is a lot of the mainstream now. Now, the song that I'm picking for my track three, I'd say kind of deviates away from the country-esque sound and definitely leans heavily more into her. I'm going to use the word haunting again, because this song leans hard into the haunting melody, but it's layered with this catchy pop rock chorus, similar to what she did on If It Makes You Happy. And this song reached number 49 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it's from 1998's The Globe Sessions. I'm going with Anything But Down. This song, again, this quasi alternative rock verse with this sweet, catchy chorus, the balance between the two on paper, when you think about it, it's staggering that it almost sounds like it won't work. And I'm sure if other artists tried to pull this off, it might not. But she just does it effortlessly, and it's so perfect. The vocals are, she just nails it. She knocks this one out of the park. I'd say this is one of her most underrated hits across her entire catalog. My track three, Anything But Down.
Awesome pick, Brian. I wish I picked that song as has a lot of another meaning to it, but it just didn't make my list for what I was working on.
Mark?
Yeah, no, it's a great song, and I like that record. I mean, I did have one pick from that record. You know, she just has a way of like having darker verses with uplifting choruses to kind of, that's how she kind of tells the story, I think. You know, it allows her to tell the story and, you know, then get to that chorus and then take you to a different space. So, you know, it's a great pick, and like I said, I had other ones trying to in front of it.
All right. Well, moving on to track four, Mark, your choice was If It Makes You Happy, and mine was Run Baby Run. So, Gomez, you are the lone track four for this round. You're up.
Wow, the lone track four. That's never happened to me before.
Yeah.
So
You're a
it's a little
loner,
different.
Gomez, a
Yeah.
rebel.
Yes, I am. But in that hence said, I went with track four, Real Gone, another one of her good songs that I truly like. Again, it resonates for me personally, being the worst of sorrows that I've had in my life. One of them being my father, you know, that deep pain that I suffered. And when he finally passed, I was able to breathe again. And that's what that song was about. Something like that, you know, like relief that his pain is all gone. It took me a couple of years to realize it. But she, again, has that voice of hers is so solid with this song, so perfect for it. So again, track four, Real Gone.
Wasn't that on the Cars soundtrack, if I'm not mistaken?
That's correct.
Yes,
Yeah,
it
I
was.
remember seeing that with the kids. And Billy Ray Cyrus did a version of that for one of the CDs that my oldest producer Allie owned back in the day. And I knew both versions. It's a fantastic song. I didn't even think of that one because it's attached to the soundtrack, but that's another fantastic pick, dude. I love it, but unfortunately didn't make my list. Mark?
Yeah, I like the song a lot. I mean, I probably overheard the song because I have a 13-year-old and, you know, we were all about, you know, Lightning McQueen and just seeing that movie over and over and seeing the next one. So I just think that probably for me, if I had heard the song standalone and not part of the movie, I would have, you know, been able to kind of just look at the song more back then as just a song and not associate it. It's a little bit different than like the Bond song that you chose. I think it's just because that's just up front and, you know, but there was so much made of like a lot of the Cars merchandise and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that song was like in commercials and, you know, where the Sheryl Crow song for the Bond movie wasn't. So I think it got really, really tied to that franchise so much that it just maybe kind of turned me off on the song because of how much it was tied to the franchise.
That's true. The good thing is my kids have not seen that movie yet. So we're still on Toy Story and Moana and Trolls. But right now, like you said, I want to bury the Moana DVD. So I have an idea what you're talking about with that. So
I could take care of that. And then if I do, you could say thank you. And then I will say, you're welcome.
Oh God. Listen,
now that everybody's turned the episode off, Mark,
you're not a demigod.
Demigod, I'm not even a demi-glace. Mark, we are back to you for track five.
All right. So I think it's time that I had to like dive into the big first hit at this point. Nothing against the song earlier, but there was some lyrical and musical stuff in the other songs. But, you know, I had to have All I Want to Do on there. It's the song that broke her out. But again, even though it's kind of just a straight hit sort of pop song, there's, you know, let's just start with like the music. Like you hear the gyro, like who puts a gyro in the music? You got The War's Lowrider, you got Gimme Shelter by the Stones using a gyro. So like, again, there's a lot of that kind of to that kind of classic rock stuff that she's listening to. This song has pedal steel on it. It's got a killer acoustic and it's just got some crazy lyrics in the song that, you know, just all over the map with what's going on. But it's pretty much, again, it's like a country song in some ways. She's just telling a story. You know, it's like one big long story in the verses and then getting to that chorus. You know, I love the line, the good people of the world are washing their cars on their lunch break, hosing and scrubbing best they can do in skirts and suits. You know, it's just kind of one of those lines that sticks in your head. But and that's what she does. But great song, you know, obviously got played a ton on radio everywhere. But I think musically, it's just a great groove.
Good pick. I did not put it on my track list.
Wow.
It was hard not to, but I have now two songs that are probably going to be honorable mentions. Probably going to have to flip a coin if there's not another third song that comes between you and Mark now, you know what I mean? But like you said, Mark, like with Real Gone, it was one of those songs I heard one too many times. And I just got tiredness of that song really quickly. Because when it came out on Z100, all those big New York stations over here for us, it's like every time I switched it, it was Sheryl Crow's All I Want to Do.
Well, I'm going to actually side with Mark on this one because All I Want to Do is my track 9. I don't necessarily like a good beer buzz early in the morning, but regardless, this song truly proved what a fantastic storyteller Sheryl Crow is. And it's a style of vocals where in the 90s, everything was, in the beginning at least, music went from the over-the-top glam and slam of the 80s hard rock and the hair metal. And then they kind of put that pivot in there where they said like Nirvana and everything else changed in the early 90s to make things more simple. And this is a song that, like Mark said, it incorporates a lot of stuff that you would hear in maybe, let's say, the 70s music. And no matter how many times I've heard this song, and I've heard it probably more than any other Sheryl Crow song, I'm not sick of it. There's something so catchy about it. There's something so infectious about it that it's undeniable. And I want to give a shout out to our Patreon playlister, Brad Sorensen, who also chimed in with this one. I mean, look, the song reached number 2 on the US Billboard Hot 100. And I think that's her highest ranking song ever. And there's a reason. It's just a fantastic tune. I absolutely love it, and it never gets old for me. So while I completely understand Gomez not putting it on, I had to, on my list, acknowledge it in one way, because it is actually tied for me with the most infectious Sheryl Crow song. And what a perfect opportunity for me to slide right into my track five, because that is the spot I have this song in. So my track five is the lead single from 2002's Come On, Come On, and I'm going with Soak Up the Sun. Another Sheryl Crow song that just invites you in with an infectious chorus, and God, the song is just so damn happy. You have to be happy listening to it. You have to be driving at a beach with the top down with this song playing. There's some songs that come out as soon as you hear them, I'm like, oh, this is a summertime anthem. Like when I first heard Toes by Zac Brown Band, when I first heard Soak Up the Sun, I'm like, oh God, this has got summer screaming out the wazoo on this song. And look, in 2020, Pomplamoose, who I love their covers on YouTube, did a Soak Up the Summer mashup. And they took this song and they mixed it with Every Morning by Sugar Ray and How Bizarre by OMC, and did a fantastic little cover version of it. So I highly suggest checking that out. The song reached number 17 on the Billboard Hot 100. So I'm not alone. It was a big hit for her. Not as big as All I Want to Do, but definitely one of the more infectious songs to come out in 2002. My track five, Soak Up the Sun.
Well, if I go down to Turks and Caicos, I'm definitely soaking up some sun. But I did not make my list. Great pick again, Brian, but it was not on mine.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I love that song. It's not on my list. I don't know. You know, I think there's something about that song for me that I love, you know, the chorus, and it's got a good verse. But I don't know. There's something that, you know, maybe she was doing something different, but it's a little bit out of her normal kind of musical element, I think. You know, just from when you hear it, if you take the lyrics away and just kind of listen to the music, there's something different about it. And, you know, everyone tries different things. I mean, and I think that's maybe that's why it's not on my top 10. And I think that it's maybe just something with the music, you know, went against what she was kind of, what was her bread and butter. And, you know, maybe that's why it didn't attract me as much to that song.
All right. Well, now's the part of the show where we would, if this was a vinyl record, flip it over to start side B of our playlist. But before we do that, Mark, we had told our Patreon playlisters that you were going to be on the show. We wanted to give them an opportunity to chime in. And Patreon playlister Tim McKay wanted to ask this question of you. And he's curious, what band or artist have you not toured with that would be on your personal bucket list?
There's a lot of them. I mean, all time, you know, they're not really touring anymore, but, you know, my favorite band was The Police. I was fortunate enough to see them on the Synchronicity tour and then see them when they got back together. I hear that Stuart Copeland is doing some type of symphony concert with Police music, you know, himself without the other two guys. So definitely, you know, that is a band that I just love, you know, for many, many years. You know, the Stones too, you know, Zac Brown just got to actually open up for the Stones here in Atlanta. You know, obviously we miss Charlie Watts a bunch, but, you know, just an amazing band to have all the songs that they do and to be able to play stadiums and just like move people, you know, that would certainly be another one that would be awesome to kind of share a stage with.
Awesome. Awesome. So with that being said, we're starting side B of our playlist, if this was a record. And Mark, we're up to you for your track six.
Yes. Well, I'm back. You know, I'm a sucker, like I said, for R&B. And this song has a lot of like Stones, as we just talked about, Start Me Up, you know, Otis Redding, Marvin Gaye. Again, it has that cigarette guitar up front with that tone and the slapback on the vocal, just kind of what I'm really used to and what really that I really attracted me to her music. So my track six is going to be Hard to Make a Stand.
That's a great pick. They did not make my list, but you can't go wrong with any of Sheryl Crow's music either. It was just very difficult to windle down to, like you said, 10 tracks for tonight. So great pick. Did not make mine, though.
Yeah, man, I feel bad because I feel like I underrepresented her self-titled album, like I said, when you picked Maybe Angels, Gomez, because that is such an awesome album. And I kind of went a little bit all over through the decades with hers. And I'm kind of a person that if I have an era I like, I usually stick with it. But with Sheryl Crow, there's really not an era I don't like. So I kind of wanted to try to represent a little bit of everything. And I had a hard time not going back to the self-titled more than once. So unfortunately, did not make mine either. But that's a fantastic pick. So with that being said, Gomez, we are back to you now for track six.
So my track six was a little difficult to pick, I will say that. But I went with something I enjoyed. And I went with Tell Me It's Over with Chris Stapleton.
Ooh.
On this. First of all, I think Chris Stapleton is a truly gifted man with his singing, his guitar playing. And having him with Sheryl Crow was unreal. Chris Stapleton has done some great duets with other awesome pop stars, you know, like Justin Timberlake, just to name drop one that I truly love. And I tell you, this song was just great. And it's the opening line that I truly love. You want to build your walls, I want to knock them down, looking for a heartbeat. And that's just a strong, strong entrance to a song. And for me personally. So I truly love the message. I love this country bluesy sound. And it was very interesting. And it caught my attention very much. So much that it made my track six, Tell Me It's Over with Chris Stapleton.
Mark?
Yeah, I didn't even really kind of go into some of, you know, I obviously knew of the big picture Kid Rock kind of duet song, but, you know, I wasn't really diving into a lot of the other kind of, I know there's a couple duet songs out there that she's done. So, you know, I think that, you know, I probably need to check that song out a little bit more. I'm a huge fan of Chris. So, but yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, Gomez, man, that is such a fantastic song. Chris Stapleton can't do any wrong as far as I'm concerned. My wife just got Adele's 30 album. And if you get the version from Target, it comes with a bonus track. And it's Easy on Me with Chris Stapleton singing with Adele. And when I put that version on, the hair on my arm stood up. The original is beautiful. With the harmonies between the two of them, it was just another world. He is fantastic. Every time he joins an artist, it elevates the song in some way. Like you mentioned, Justin Timberlake. I've heard his stuff he's done with Pink. Mm-hmm. I mean, up and down the map, he is just a fantastic singer-songwriter. And the Threads album that came out in 2019 is amazing. And Mark, if you're looking for collaborations, every song on the album is a collaboration. And it's actually interesting, Gomez, that your track six is from that album, because mine is as well. But I went with a different track from that album, and I went with the one that features the goddess herself, Stevie Nicks, and Maren Morris. And I'm going with Prove You Wrong. Look, when you put those three voices together, the harmonies that they're able to bring together, God, when the song ends, I just want to hear an entire album of these three singing together, because their voices just fit so well together. And the song is just a perfect mix between 1970s kind of California-esque rock and country music kind of blended into one. And God, the three of their vocals together, it's just a powerhouse. I would love for them to do something like a female version of the Highwaymen, where they put an album out, or the Pistolanis, so to speak, and put an album out together, because God, this song is just unbelievable. My track six, Prove You Wrong.
Great pick, Brian. That was one that was teeter-tottering with Chris Stapleton, but I kind of reserved more to the Chris Stapleton song. So great pick. Did not make my list, but a fantastic, again, pick.
Yeah, great. No, that's another great option there. I think that, you know, it's, again, when she moved up to Nashville, you know, she was doing all these different collaborations. And, you know, obviously that was after when she released her record. But I think that, you know, she's in that scene now, knows a lot of those people. And plus, you know, Sheryl's the real deal when it comes to songwriting and performing. We talked about, you know, for, you know, a good portion of her career, she was even playing bass on tour, you know, when she was doing that. So, you know, I think that people in Nashville truly respect her, musicians respect her, songwriters and performers. And so there's a lot of these opportunities out there for her to be able to collaborate with people.
Well, Mark, with that being said, we're moving on to track seven. My pick has already been revealed with Leaving Las Vegas. So we're up to you for your track seven.
All right. Well, this is the first time I kind of go a little bit off the grid, and I'm going with a cover song from The Very Best of Sheryl Crow from April of 2003. I'm going with Cat Stevens' song, The First Cut is the Deepest. I really loved this song. You know, I did some deeper dives going back and listened to actual P.P. Arnold May's version of this song. That was the first release of it, that After Cat wrote it. Very, very different, like harpsichord going on there. And then Cat Stevens' version is very upbeat, almost kind of like Four Tops Temptations kind of sound going on. And then, you know, Rod Stewart's version is pretty close to what she ended up doing. But again, it's just that R&B thing that really brings me in. But she really did a different kind of thing on the production. She had acoustic and mandolin up front, kind of broken down. And then there's no electric until the solo. You hear electric guitar come in on the solo. You know, her voice on this track is great. She's got some strings going on. So I think she did an amazing job of it. You know, probably hers and Stewart's version are my favorite versions of that song.
Wow. I totally forgot about this song, too. It was truly a great, great song. And unfortunately, did not make my pick. Oh, man, I got four honorable mentions already. This is going to be tough. But this is another great song, too. I love the pick, though.
I only have one song left, and unfortunately, this one's not it, but growing up with a mother who is a huge Rod Stewart fan, I was very familiar with his version growing up as a child, and then there was his version on the MTV Unplugged in the early 90s, and then Sheryl Crow's version, I thought, was a step above, and that's not knocking Rod Stewart's version in the slightest. They're both great, but her version is even better. I love the pick, unfortunately. There's only one spot left on my playlist, and that one's not it. So, Gomez, we are back to you for your track seven.
So, my track seven, as everybody knows, I love my movies. And this came off the movie soundtrack of one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies. No, it's
if
not
you say
Little
Nicky.
Nicky,
I'm turning
no,
your...
No. I'm saying it now. It's not Little Nicky. Came from the comedy movie Big Daddy. And Sheryl Crow does the cover song from Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine. Everyone kind of not liked this version, but I think she did it very tastefully for this movie. You know what I mean? Her voice, everything she does, it was perfect for this song and truly great version. So track seven for the Big Daddy movie, Sweet Child of Mine.
I have a question for you there, Alex. Wasn't there a whole cover record of that record? Like a bunch of artists did like a song from that record that she was part of as well? Or am I thinking of something else?
I think it might be something else because I don't remember my dives of looking into that one.
I thought someone else did kind of like, we were part of that Fleetwood Mac Rumors record that we did, Goldust Woman, and you know, a lot of other artists were on there. But I thought there was the same kind of project done for the Guns N' Roses record. I'm going to have to do a deeper dive into that.
Now, can I just say, being you brought it up, Mark, I had a few years ago the opportunity to interview Ryan from the band, and I gushed for probably a good 3 minutes on how much I love your version on the Tribute to Rumors album. Gold Dust Woman, what you guys brought to that song, I worked in a record store in 1996, and let me tell you, every day I made sure that that album got played, and I always cranked up your version of that song. And I told him, so now I got to tell you as well. That is one badass cover. And I do mention that cover, if you go back on our Fleetwood Mac episode, about how much I love this one. So, I mean, you guys just nailed that one, knocked it out of the park. I mean, to me, it's one of my favorite covers that you guys do. And I know you've done several over the years. So I just wanted to gush about that one to you because we're talking. So
no, we're super proud of it. I mean, we owe a lot of credit to Paul Ebersold, our producer, who did the Somewhere More Familiar record and then was also co-producer on the Fortress record. We went down to Criteria, the famous studio in South Beach, where Rumors was actually cut, I believe. And, you know, we were trying to do something, be true to ourselves, but take the song to a different version. And, you know, Paul, you know, really was instrumental in like kind of coming up with the beat that we kind of came up with to kind of do some type of Zeppelin sort of thing against what was going on the original thing and kind of playing it backwards and doing the guitars and drums are playing kind of not together, but they are together. And so, you know, it was a several days of just figuring out how can we make it our version, but still be true to the original. And, you know, Ken sings his ass off on it and Drew's vocals as well. But it really just kind of started with like, how can we develop the foundation to make it ours? And, you know, that was a lot, Paul.
Such a fantastic version. So going back to Sweet Child of Mine, Gomez, it's not my track eight. It didn't make my list, but I'm going to actually side with you on this one. I know that this cover caught a lot of flack.
It did.
And look, the original was by one of the world's most dangerous rock bands. And here's a pop artist doing a pop version. I get that some people can't handle that, but I can. And her version is perfect for what it is. I cannot picture Guns N' Roses' version in the movie. No. I could picture her version in the movie. It's a sweet version, pun intended, pun not intended, of the song. And I think her take on it, she does just enough to make it her own. Mm-hmm. And her vocals on it, the delivery's perfect. It's still the catchy song that it was in 87 on Appetite. She just adds her own flavor to it. And I think it's done well. And you know me, I love cover songs. Yeah. But if it's done poorly, I'm going to call it out. And I can't say a thing about it. I love it.
And it was probably one of my favorite scenes in this movie is when he's trying to get the kid back. He's trying to be a dad and a lawyer. So it like kind of woke him up saying, I got to do something because I truly love the kid. So that it's a great movie. All that stuff. Catch it if you've never seen it before. But I think everyone has.
All right. We are up to track eight. Mark, looking forward to hearing what you have up next now.
All right. So I'm back to the self-titled record again. I know I kind of spent a bunch of time there, but it definitely made an impression on me. I think this might have been the second single on that record. Again, you know, it's all about the groove. I mean, if you bring kind of Get Me with the Groove and listen to that, you know, I'll kind of dive into the lyrics of what's happening. But I love it's kind of starts with bongos kind of fading in the background and then they kind of all boom, come up to the center. It's got that cigarette amp again. That's pretty much a signature sound for her. The slide solo is amazing, the tone. And so it's going to be Every Day is a Winding Road. It's going to be my number eight.
Great pick. Did not make my list, though.
Oh, this is tough. This is a fantastic song. And
it is.
Some cuts had to be made. And this is sadly one of them. But Anthony Welk and Brad Sorensen, two of our Patreon playlisters, both chimed in with it. It's undeniable. And it's sadly not on my list. And it's definitely one that's going to be vying for my honorable mention tonight because it's a fantastic tune. Gomez, track eight, closing your set list out.
Yeah, I was just about to say it's closing my set list out, and that's just sad. But I truly like this song a lot. I'll tell you, the beginning of this song, before I even mention the name of it, I love the piano to this song, which was kind of a little soothing. And I went with another duet by Sheryl Crow and by another well-known singer, Always on Your Side with Sting. I thought this song was so incredible. And to hear Sting and Sheryl Crow together was just an amazing thing. Even more amazing than Ozzy and Elton John. You know, any kind of duet with her, I think it's going to be a masterpiece. And another one, again, you know, with Chris Stapleton was another great one. This is up there with them. This would be, if I had to do a duet track list with these two, one and two for me right off the bat, because they're great songs, have a lot of meaning to it. So my track eight, Always on Your Side with Sting.
Yeah, that one I'm a little angry at, but not angry because of the pick. I love the song, but I was one of those people that had to buy the album twice because the original version I had just Sheryl Crow on the vocals. Not that I don't like that version. Right. And then she had given on her website to anyone who bought the album a download, but I'm a big audiophile. So when they released an edition with Sting's version on it as well, I repurchased because I wanted it on the CD. It's a fantastic cover. Just missed my playlist. Mark, being a big fan of The Police, you mentioned Synchronicity before. I'm kind of curious, as somebody who's one of your favorite, how this kind of duet fares for you.
Yeah, I mean, I love the two artists immensely. You know, I think that two people I'd love to play drums for sure. I think that for me, I probably just overlooked it a little bit just because there was so many other songs that, again, I think a lot of her music came out in a time when, you know, I was kind of developing also my own songwriting skills and was kind of really, like we talked about, her Dylan-esque kind of writing and just more. And so I think I was kind of more drawn to that. But, you know, I love both of these artists. And besides them, there's so many other amazing duets out there. And there's some crazy ones too, like, you know, Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett. Like, you can get all kinds of extremes. But, like, you know, you know, that's one thing too. Like, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, that she was professionally trained and has super piano skills and classical music chops. And, you know, and so, you know, they just see the one side that the public sees, but there's a deeper thing even going on with Lady Gaga and all of her music. So I think it's the same thing with Cheryl and why people are attracted to, you know, doing music with her is because, you know, she's very well-rounded.
So with that being said, Gomez, you are closed out.
Wow.
And I am going to close my playlist out now with my track 8. And I'm going to go back to 1998's The Globe Sessions. This song reached number 2 on the Billboard AAA chart, but didn't crack the Hot 100. So I don't know if you'd consider this a hit or not, but to me, it's a mainstay. And in 2001, the song won the Best Female Rock Vocal Performance at the Grammy Awards. And I'm going with There Goes the Neighborhood. This song, with that dirty lead guitar, and then you add in the horn section. I'm a sucker for horns in music. We've talked about this many a times on Playlist Wars. You add a horn section, I'm in. I love it. There's something about it, and it works so well between that dirty riff and the horn, kind of like these, again, these two extremes coming together. That's kind of a theme to my playlist, a lot of the songs I picked tonight. And I want to give a shout out to Patreon playlister Eric Chale, who also had my track 8, There Goes the Neighborhood. Gomez, I know your playlist is closed, but if you have anything to say about this one, you're more than free to chime in on it.
It's another fantastic pick, Brian. I mean, like I said, this was a hard one for me because she has so many great albums, so many great songs. And I overlooked it. Like you said, you overlooked a few of my songs. I definitely overlooked a few of yours, and I definitely overlooked over a few of Mark's. So for me, it's like, wow. But when you look at these three lists so far, totally unbelievable, great lists. So it's like if you missed one on one list, you got it on the other list. So, I mean, I think we're complimenting each other tremendously tonight.
Yeah, and think about like when he goes see a live show, how many songs that she has to pull from to play. It's pretty crazy.
Definitely.
But it's funny you picked that because since we are in December and you mentioned horns, you know, she did a version of Merry Christmas Baby that we kind of built our version of Merry Christmas Baby off of her version and Springsteen's version, both with horns. And again, you know, that was, again, she has the flair to kind of do some different things, bring in those horns. And I love the Globe Sessions record. You know, I probably could have, just like you probably could have picked, Brian, some more songs off of her self-titled. I probably could have picked a few more songs off of the Globe Sessions. They were right there for me. And, you know, this could have been one of those.
Do you want to laugh, Mark? I seriously, hand to God when I say this. You just picked my favorite song off of Santa's playlist. You had me at the horns. I love your version of Merry Christmas, Baby. Obviously, Springsteen's version, they're all great, but we were putting up the tree and this song was playing. One of the songs that came up on our Christmas playlist. We listen to it every year. Absolutely love it. So I just find it funny. The whole world won't find it funny, but I find it funny that the two songs you brought up from Sister Hazel are two of my favorites that I think about it depending on the time of year here.
Well, here's a little tidbit about that record if you didn't get it from Ryan's podcast, but that was a record where each one of us, we didn't have a producer, and we were given the task to pick three songs and self-produce three songs. And so you could do a cover or you could do an original song. For me, you know, I kind of did Merry Christmas Baby and did Oh Holy Night. And so went out there, one of my buddies, Bill Smith from college, we both went to North Texas State. He was a drummer, but he's also an amazing, he does a lot of string arrangements. He did all the string arrangements on Chasing Daylight, done some symphony songs for us. So him and I worked together and, you know, he created all the horn parts for the record and these two songs and then did all the stuff on the Holy Night. So we wanted to go big and bold on these songs. And so, you know, that was kind of what we end up doing, you know, on Merry Christmas Baby and Old Holy Night.
Oh, I love hearing all the little details about these things. That is so friggin' cool. All right, so Mark, track 9 is completely covered up here because you picked my favorite mistake. Gomez was leaving Las Vegas, and I was All I Want to Do. And then track 10, Gomez was strong enough, and if it makes you happy. So you kick things off, and now you're going to also close out the night with your last pick of the night and your track 10.
Well, this kind of goes back to like what Alex was talking about with the bass kind of bringing you in. You know, you got a record with an acoustic strumming guitar going on, and then against that you have a distorted synth bass, and like, so, you know, bipolar of what the two sounds would be. It's kind of Stones kind of vibe, and it's going to be a change would do you good. Is going to be me closing out the list. I mean, I just love how, again, she's able to use instrumentation that you really don't hear, haven't heard before, you know, taking an organic acoustic instrument to cover what's going on. And then that bass tone and bass line just is crazy that it's like synth distorted bass against that.
Unfortunately, didn't make my list, but that's another good one. I mean, seriously, we could have did a top 20 here, and I could have easily filled up the next 10.
So you're the bass player. You should have loved that one.
I know. And I feel guilty about that, but I figured I used my bass leaning thing and leaving Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. There you go.
So, man, this is really tough. That's another great song. Like the one I'm actually, Gomez, why don't you talk about the song so I could kind of mull over my honorable mention pick of the night right now?
Well, Brian, you're mulling. I got four picks here, man. So don't even start asking me to talk, because I'm having a hard time. Another fantastic pick, Mark. Unfortunately, my list was closed out, so I did not make mine. But it's another fantastic pick.
All right. So now's the time where I guess we'll put our money where our mouths are with our honorable mention picks of the night. Now, remember, this is one of the songs that someone else picked on the show that you didn't, that you just kind of want a tip of the hat to. So, Mark, why don't we kick off with you?
Well, you know, we'll kind of go with the movie theme. I think that, you know, Gomez had a bunch of songs there. And, you know, I think that, you know, not that I'm, like I said, I'm not, I think I saw too many Cars commercials and everything around it. But I think the lead track for the Bond movie, Tomorrow Never Dies, I think would be my sort of honorable mention. I think that some of those Bond songs are done really, really well, and then some other ones are just not. Love for Your Eyes Only, that's kind of probably one of my all-time Bond favorite songs. But I would say, you know, Tomorrow Never Dies would be my honorable mention pick.
Brian, Mark, I'm going to have to pull this one off, but I'm going to go with All I Want to Do. So the tip that I had to both of you guys.
All right. So that gives us an honorary trifecta for All I Want to Do. And man, this is tough. I'm looking at this. Do we have another hour that I could sit here and ponder? Okay. I'm going to have to tip my hat to you, Gomez. You had me at Chris Stapleton. Tell Me It's Over. I love the Threads album. And I kind of did a lot of stuff from her earlier albums. And I was really debating going back to Sheryl Crow's self-titled album.
I was surprised.
But Chris Stapleton, man, the two of them together is just magical. And it's such a great song. And it almost has this Tom Petty vibe to it a little bit too.
Okay.
Which is something that Chris Stapleton has all over his Starting Over album, because it has Ben Montench and Mike Campbell playing on the album. And I think that maybe bled over into the song. And you know my love for Tom Petty. So
yes, I know.
Anything that goes down that rabbit hole, yeah, it's a fantastic, fantastic song. So
who played drums on it?
Give me 1 second. Derek Mixon.
Don't know that name.
I don't either. So
neither do I.
So we talked about a lot of songs tonight on the show, and there's three that our Patreon members chimed in with that I just want to mention, because Patreon member Chris chimed in with I Shall Believe, and Brad chimed in with Oh Marie and Ordinary Morning, three other fantastic songs that we didn't even get to. And I feel like even though we've gone through three different amazing playlists, we have three trifectas tonight. My Favorite Mistake, If It Makes You Happy, and Leaving Las Vegas with an honorary trifecta of All I Want to Do. We covered a ton of Sheryl Crow ground here. And I want to, Mark, ask you to run through your track list, track 1 through 10 in its entirety, so people can hear your vision of a Sheryl Crow playlist in its entirety.
Yeah, so one was Run Baby Run, 2 Strong Enough, 3 Leaving Las Vegas, 4 If It Makes You Happy, 5 All I Want to Do, 6 Hard to Make a Stand, 7 The First Cut is the Deepest, 8 Every Day is a Winding Road, 9 My Favorite Mistake, and closing it out, 10 A Change Would Do You Good.
Track 1, Maybe Angels. Track 2, Tomorrow Never Dies. Track 3, If It Makes You Happy. Track 4, Real Gone. Track 5, My Favorite Mistake. Track 6, Tell Me It's Over with Chris Stapleton. Track 7, Sweet Child of Mine. Track 8, Always on Your Side with Sting. Track 9, Leaving Las Vegas. Track 10, Strong Enough. And ending it up with my honorable mentions, All I Wanna Do.
My track 1 was My Favorite Mistake. Track 2, Best of Times. Track 3, Anything But Down. Track 4, Run Baby Run. Track 5, Soak Up the Sun. Track 6, Prove You Wrong with Stevie Nicks and Maren Morris. Track 7, Leaving Las Vegas. Track 8, There Goes the Neighborhood. Track 9, All I Want to Do. And track 10, If It Makes You Happy, with an honorable mention of Tell Me It's Over with Chris Stapleton. Three very great Sheryl Crow playlists. I think the playlisters are going to have a hard time choosing, but now it's time to vote. Playlisters, head over to playlistwarspodcast.com. Visit our Sheryl Crow page and vote for which one of the three of us you think got it right. Now, Mark, before we close up shop for the evening, we'd love for you to talk about what's going on for the Sister Hazel Camp in 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, well, right now there is an acoustic strings record. So we're pretty excited about that. It was part of a live stream that we did during the pandemic. We did it at a soundstage down in Tampa. Again, Bill Smith's our arranger connoisseur did new versions of a lot of our songs, and it's pretty cool because a good example is like Your Winter, that was in 10 Things I Hate About You, and also on the Fortress record, starts with Ryan's electric guitar, clean guitar. Well, you know, things that we did on this record where we gave that to the strings, and the strings play the whole opening verse, and so we kind of basically took some of us out and featured the strings, and then we kind of played with them. So a lot of cool songs on there. We have Concede on there, Sword and Shield with great versions. We also have like four songs that do not have strings, but some, you know, other songs that we haven't put on records, kind of like Truth Is off of the Absolutely record. So there's a really cool version of In the Moment with strings, as well as Almost Broken. So it's kind of a cool record because there's a lot of songs that have not been recorded live before, and then songs that we haven't recorded live with strings. So we're pretty excited about that. We just got back from doing our Rock Boat, which we're not going to be doing in 2022. We're moving that back to 2023 in the January, February time period. And then we are doing a cruise in Europe in September of 2022. So it's an 8-day cruise from Frankfurt to Amsterdam. So kind of excited about that. We haven't been to Europe officially, so it'll be fun kind of doing that. We'll have our Hazelnut Hang, but I think a lot of stuff is still up in the air. You know, we've had a lot of shows cancel in 2021 due to COVID. So I think we're just sort of cautiously optimistic about how 2022 is going to go. And, you know, we love getting out there and playing across the country. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that and get back to some type of normalcy. But I think that a lot of it's going to be out of our hands at this point.
Well, Mark, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight and talking about Sheryl Crow as well as some Sister Hazel stuff with us. It has been an absolute honor, like we said at the beginning. Huge fans of the band for many, many, many years, many decades now. And I wish you guys all the best and can't wait to see you next time you guys are up in the New Jersey area. And we wish you guys all the health and happiness and can't wait to see you back on the road. And thank you again for being a part of tonight's Playlist Wars battle with us.
I appreciate it. I had a great time, and hopefully we can connect once we're back up in the Northeast.
Definitely. Mark, can't thank you enough for jumping on with us tonight. I really appreciate hanging out with us and sharing your awesome top 10 list of Sheryl Crow with us. Brian, I got to thank you again for being on the show, helping me out with the show. It's always awesome. Thank you to all the playlisters. Also, check us out on patreon.com/playlistwars, where you can join a tier with us. Also, vote for us on PlaylistWarsPodcast.com. And we will see you next time when a new battle takes place on Playlist Wars. Good night, everybody.
You can find Playlist Wars on Facebook and Twitter at Playlist Wars, on Instagram at Playlist Wars Podcast, on email at PlaylistWars@gmail.com, or via voicemail at 201-644-6498. That's 201-644-6498. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a 5-star review and be sure to tell a friend or multiple friends about the show. Until next time, thanks for listening.